Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to those who are returning, and welcome to those who are trying this for the first time. I'm excited about being here, and I'm excited about 1 Corinthians. It was a fun summer spending time with Paul in the city of Corinth. Learned a lot about the Corinthians, and I hope you guys will enjoy this. I'm going to start with talking about Corinth in general. Corinth was a wealthy Greek city known for its strategic location on the Isthmus of Corinth. Its position on the isthmus gave Corinth two ports and a monopoly on trade across the isthmus, since it was the shortest distance of travel from the Adriatic Sea to the Aegean Sea. Corinth became a wealthy city transporting goods and even ships across the isthmus. In 146 BC, the Romans destroyed Corinth when they defeated the Achaean League. The city remained in ruins until 44 BC, when Julius Caesar rebuilt the city and established it as the capital of the new Roman province of Achaia. Or Achaia. Achaia sounds like a car. But anyway. By Paul's time, Corinth was a prominent economic center known for its many beautiful pagan temples, theaters, public baths, and the very popular Isthmian Games. The city's patron goddess was Aphrodite, the goddess of sex and fertility, and the city was infamous as a destination for all kinds of pleasure-seeking. Even the name of the city became a code word for sexual vices. To live like a Corinthian meant to indulge in all forms of sexual debauchery. And I just came back from Las Vegas, and I got to tell you, was a lot like Corinth back in the day. I did not live like a Corinthian there, but a lot of other people were. So, on to the Corinthian Christian community. The Christian community numbered anywhere from 50 to 200 of both Gentiles and Jews, and was once thought to be made up of Corinth's lower class citizens, based on Paul's remarks in 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31, which speaks of their insignificant origins and status. Recent research has modified this belief, and now there is an understanding that they're not just the poor people, but also disadvantages due to ethnicity and gender bias. There were also people of means and social stature who are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 16, and 19. All this is to say that the socioeconomic diversity probably accounts for the tensions during the Eucharistic gatherings. It is understood that there were Gentiles in the mix who were coming from pagan environment, and the pagan environment that I just described. Due to this, just like today, it was the difference between the haves and the have-nots. There were judgments, discriminations, and those of privilege who felt they could do what they wanted when they wanted. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is a letter of pastoral theology in which Paul treats these issues that have caused difficulties within the Christian community at Corinth. The issues faced by Paul and his church reflect conditions and issues of the first century. At the same time, they often offer us insight into the issues that confront Christian communities today. The study of these letters provides an opportunity to reflect on what it means to be a community of believers who share many things but disagree on others. It challenges us to think about how we relate to the wider world that we live in, even though many practices in our society does not share our Christian values. St. Paul established the Christian community of Corinth about 51 AD on his second missionary journey from Antioch. And this is recorded in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 15 through chapter 18, that missionary journey. While Paul was on his third journey, which is noted in Acts 19, he learned that the community had become divided as members began identifying themselves with different religious leaders. Thus, this letter, written about 56 AD, opens with a plea for Christian unity and is written in response to various issues raised by the Corinthians. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians from the city of Ephesus on the west coast of Asia Minor. the headquarters of his missionary activity for several years in the mid-50s of the first century. He wrote to the community in Corinth, which he had personally founded 5 years earlier. He had maintained contact with the congregation by letters and through personal emissaries. At several points in the letter, Paul alludes to these ongoing contacts. At 1 Corinthians 1:11, he mentions the news brought to him by Chloe's people about divisions in the church. These messengers were probably freedmen or slaves in the household of a woman, probably Chloe, of some means. Later, at 1 Corinthians 7, Paul mentions that he's responding to what the Corinthians had written about. It may be that Chloe's people had brought him letters with questions about issues disputed in Corinth as well. It is useful to remember the larger context of Paul's ministry at this time. He had been involved in work among the Gentiles for 20 years. He preached to them and was grounded in his conviction that God, by raising Jesus from the dead, was beginning a new age in his relationship with humankind. God, who had created the human race, wanted to extend his sovereignty to all humankind, and through the prophets of Israel, had promised to do so at the end of time. The resurrection of Jesus signaled that those end times had begun, and Paul was engaged in the mission to help people, to help bring God's promise to reality. That meant for Paul that Gentiles would become members of the fellowship of followers of Jesus as well. The divisions and difficulties in Corinth threaten the success of the larger mission to demonstrate solidarity among all the Christian communities now forming in the Eastern Mediterranean region. The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians is one of the most quoted of his letters, particularly the passage of love. The book includes the key passage on the memorial of the Last Supper. We find that in chapter 11. The charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12. On love, chapter 13. And on the resurrection of Christ and of the body in chapter 15. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians provides us with excellent insight into the life of the early Christian church in the middle of the first century AD. Paul's reflection on the church as the Christian community of believers begins in 1 Corinthians as he calls for harmony within the community. Paul emphasizes in the very beginning that God is faithful and has called us into communion or fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He indicates that Christ did not send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel or evangelize, to preach Christ crucified. His preaching or proclamation was a demonstration of the Spirit. He reminds us twice that we are temples of God and the Holy Spirit who dwells in our bodies, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in our bodies. He points out that whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Paul recalls the institution of the Eucharist, the new covenant in Christ. He advises that there are varieties of ministries or service and the same Lord. And his analogy of the one body with many parts refers to our union in the body of Christ. In addition, 1 Corinthians also speaks to the message of the cross, on the relationship of God and the Holy Spirit, on labor and wages. And chapter 3, 11 through 15 is considered a reference for the existence of purgatory. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Paul recalls that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. He expresses the tenet of our Christian faith on the Father and the Son. He speaks of clerical marriage, as with the Apostle Peter and the brothers of the Lord, is supported in 9:5. One of the more comforting quotes, 10:13, which assures us that God will not let us be tested beyond our strength. There are so many lessons for us to learn in 1 Corinthians, and we will dive deeper into each of these teachings in the coming weeks. The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, I'll just touch on, because we will hear about that later on in the year. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians was again in response to issues that arose with the time. The letter reveals both Paul's love and his frustration concerning the faith community he founded. In Paul's admonishments and encouragements, we see an early Christian community that struggled with many of the same issues that Christians face today. Through the study of this letter, we will also come into a deeper appreciation of Paul's inspired insight into how, in his divine love, God reached out to a fallen humanity through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, he focuses on three main topics. Number one, a crisis in the relationship between Paul and the Corinthian Christians and the resolution of that crisis. Their relationship was strained for a couple of reasons, and Paul speaks to that. Number two, additional directives concerning the alms collection for the mother church in Jerusalem. And number three, a defense of his apostolic ministry against the charges of some false apostles trying to discredit him. The second letter gives us great insight into the personality of Paul, his love for those communities he established, and his unwavering faithfulness to the ministry he's been called. Really look forward to working with 1st and 2nd Corinthians with you guys, and I hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you like it was a blessing to me to dive into it this summer. And I don't have a reflection song today. I'm just gonna close in a prayer. And then we will, I guess Margaret will come back up and we'll start dismissing small groups. So, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this gathering of faithful, this small faith community that has come together to study your word. We thank you, Lord, for St. Paul and his fervent faith, his dedication to you, and his willingness to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. We ask you, Lord, to keep us safe throughout this year. We pray especially for Puerto Rico as they look at another hurricane coming their way. We ask you, Lord, to protect all those on the islands that are faced with that hurricane. And Lord, we lift up our small groups, the leaders, everyone here, that this year can be a time of study, a time of support, a time of prayer, a time of spiritual renewal. We know, Lord, that when more than two are gathered, you are here. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your love, for your mercy, for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given us. And we also thank you, Lord, for the trials, that it's through that sometimes we become even closer to you. And with the desire to become closer to you, we pray the prayer that you have given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. One more thing that I want to just encourage. You'll see we've got new small group spaces, and we might be changing throughout the year because we are under construction. So that construction is part of a bigger piece of the puzzle with the Highland Center hopefully going to be rebuilt, torn down and rebuilt to an even better multi-use place. Where we've got a lot of receptions that are planned for the parish, and if you are a member of this parish, please feel free to RSVP for one of those receptions to learn more about what the capital campaign is going to pay for and so on and so forth, and just learn more about what we're hoping to do in order to expand our little plot of land here to kind of deal with the growth that we are experiencing, which is a good thing. But we're losing some elbow room, so we need to grow up. And so also, if you'll keep the capital campaign in your prayers, but please come and learn more. There are pamphlets out in the hallway, ways to RSVP just to find out more, and there's morning, afternoon, and evening sessions. Some sessions also in the evening have nursery available. So thank you, and God bless. Have a wonderful Bible study. All right.